Newsmakers is brought to you by the Illinois American Water Company. I'm Gary Moore. On today's program,
we are in favor of tamping some of the violence down, but we're not in favor of racial profiling. That's the bottom line.
Local NAACP President Reverend Marvin Hightower talks about police policy and the national political scene. Also,
can you tell me, honestly, is the weather the same now as when you were growing up, you know, 50, 60 years ago? And the answer is, no, it's not the same weather. It's not the same weather I remember.
Meteorologist Chuck Collins affirms that climate change is real. But first, local NAACP President Reverend Marvin Hightower talks about national politics and Peoria police policy. The election is a year and a few months away. People say the election season usually starts Labor Day weekend, but this year people are saying, no, the election season has already started. Republican candidates are out there. Biden has already announced. People are already jockeying for position. They're already spending millions of dollars on this campaign. Do you think it's already started?
Oh, most definitely. In fact, elections never end, really, to be perfectly honest. They're a continuous thing. And, of course, 2024 is going to be a pivotal year and a pivotal election. So, yes, they are in full steam ahead, really.
Yeah, and I think the fact that you have the nominee, the presumed nominee for the Republican Party, the front runner, former President Donald Trump, under these legal clouds where you got the Mar-a-Lago classified documents case, you got the January 6th thing looming over his head, you got the election interference in Georgia and other places, and yet he said he was going to run, wouldn't stop, even if he was in jail or had an ankle bracelet, he'd still run. You believe that?
Oh, no doubt, and it's not in our Constitution that he can't. There's nothing in the Constitution that says that he can't run while under indictment or even in jail, which is crazy to me. I don't think we would have ever thought we'd have been in this place, and I'm sure that the founding fathers never thought we'd be in this place where we actually have a candidate under indictment or even in prison running for president.
I mentioned some of the cases. Do you think any of those cases are going to lead to a conviction?
I would hope so. However, the one thing about Trump and his lawyers, they know how to drag things out. And one of the things that I'm most concerned about is they'll drag it out until after the election, and if he happens to win the election, he'll be a sitting president. And of course, that's even though we're in unprecedented waters right now, that would be totally unprecedented for a sitting president to go to prison.
You're speaking to the fact that he has broad support. The last election, which he lost, let's just say that there's myth out there that he won, is just a myth. That's the big lie. But the last election that he lost, he garnered something like 75 million votes.
Yes. And it's only getting stronger, it seems.
Right. So talk to me about how concerned you are about that, because I remember the last time I talked to you, you were saying that it's one thing for us to focus on Trump and his antics and his politics and how far-fetched he can be and insulting, et cetera. But it's another thing when your next door neighbor and your average Joe that you run across, those 75 million people actually subscribe to his beliefs.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And I see clips most every day of supporters, and some of the reporters ask his supporters, well, what would are you going to stick with Trump even if he indicted and go to prison? Some of them say, yeah, we're going to stick to him, stick with him until the end. That is the sentiment of some of those that are his followers, are his supporters. They are going to stick with him no matter what. He may lose some, but there are those who will stick with him. That 30% is a solid 30% of the country that will stick with him no matter what.
A lot of people have analyzed who makes up that 30%, that a lot of people are misinformed. It just in general, that we're living in a society now where misinformation is the thing. I can go online and say something about Marvin Hightower, and he can go online and say something about me, and this can take on a viral life of its own for weeks without any of it being true. How can we combat that? Because I also remember talking to you back when COVID was a big menace, and we were trying to get people in our community, the Black community, to get tested and to get the vaccine. And there was misinformation out there in our community about COVID. And so it's not just, you know, right-wing politics. It's information about Black people's health. Anything that the NAACP or any thoughts that you have about how we can start getting back to truthful information?
Well, that's a million-dollar question, but the one way to do it is to always, whenever you are confronted with a lie, which is basically, which is what it is, you have to continually put out the truth and just continue to put it out and put it out there. And then with the advent of AI, and then we also know that Russia did interfere with the election, this information is going to be out there. When President Trump, or the ex-former President Trump, said he liked the poorly educated person, he really meant what he said. And a poorly educated person that only gets their news from one source can be led down a disinformation path. And one thing we do or have to do is to continue to confront it with real facts. Now, it's not going to be easy, and some people you just won't reach. That's just the bottom line. However, we have to continue to try to put out as factual of information as we can, like through your station and others. We have to. We can't just let the lie just keep growing and growing, or we'll continue to go down this path that we're on. And that's destruction.
Yeah, and when you say destruction, sadly, we have seen, like in the case of Dylann Roof, who shot up the Black church, this was somebody who unfortunately went down this negative white supremacist rabbit hole on social media and came out radicalized to the point where this young man, you know, arms himself and goes into a church and shoots Black parishioners to death. So it has deadly consequences. Well, we saw it on January 6th.
No doubt. People died on January 6th. People are being indicted up as a result. But you still have those people that will follow what they call with MAGA. And you have people going to jail every day and getting indicted, suing Fox News, and still people will follow this until the end. It's unbelievable. It's almost as though they are in a trance. And when you hear the word cult, you think of the word cult, it is an actual cult. It is unfathomable to think that we are in this place for someone who didn't deliver on hardly anything they said they were going to deliver on. It's like the wall. We're paying for that. Let's go and have him cut one check. The only thing he did was, one thing he did do was the Supreme Court, and he nominated a lot of federal judges, which brings me back to one of the points you were talking about his cases. People are federal judges that were Trump supporters. And even the one case in Mar-a-Lago, about Mar-a-Lago, now is in Florida with a Trump-supporting judge. And that makes me really leery and really nervous, because you have these judges in these positions for life. So, I mean, it's really, that's one of my major concerns about his indictment, is because those judges are in place.
So, some people have said we're back to 1963 or 1964, because with the, you mentioned the Supreme Court, with the Supreme Court's decision on affirmative action, with the court's decision on Roe v. Wade, the decision on LGBTQ, the fact that these are life positions, you have various states throughout the country that are doing rollbacks on laws. Thank goodness the folks in North Carolina, you know, barely escaped a case with regard to gerrymandering districts. But in Florida, you know, Governor Ron DeSantis, who's also running for president, has forbidden black studies in schools and stuff like that. And so all of these things, and we don't have to talk about each one individually. I mean, we've covered them and you know about them. But the thing I think we want to get across to our listeners is that please pay attention to these things, because going back to the original reason why I'm calling you, this election coming up is important. All these things that we're talking about are the result of elections. Trump was voted into office, and your vote is your power to nudge the politics of this country in one direction or the other.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. And you said earlier, when you said that we were back in 63, and they're talking about taking us back, no, we're already back. As you read your litany, and voting is our power. And the thing that, one of the things that's most disheartening about our community, and I don't even say locally, is our lack of urgency in voting and participation. That's our voice. Somewhere along the line, we have fallen prey to not understanding or not realizing how powerful our vote is. If it wasn't that powerful or wasn't that important, they wouldn't be trying to suppress it at every turn, even here in Peoria, with our vote through the mail-in ballots, and having now the citizens have to pay for stamps and to mail it in. So it's important for us to vote. I can't stress it enough until I've turned blue, and you know how dark I am. I'm already blue. But anyhow, I can't stress the importance of voting. And we say it every time that this election is important, but this election is actually very important, because if he were to get in, and you think he was bad this past time in 2016 to 2020, he will get in there, and depending upon the Congress, they will go after the Constitution, which could possibly make him president for life. I mean, it's just getting that bad, and that's the way he thinks, because he follows dictators. He likes that, and he said it. He wants to be president for life, and that could very well happen if he was to get back in the office, especially if the Congress, if he gets both sides of Congress like he had before. It's really detrimental.
Yeah, yeah. You are partnering with a lot of different stakeholders in our community to try to better our community. The relationship with the police and the African-American community has always been tentative at best. And we know that the police chief, with the support of the mayor and the council, has instituted these directed patrols in an effort to cut down on crime. I still get people on the street telling me they think it's racial profiling. Why are they just stopping us? And if they just stop us, then it's letting the folks in the other parts of the city get a pass. Your thoughts, please.
A few weeks ago, when they had that press conference with alongside the mayor and myself, as well as others in the community, one of the things as far as the NAACP is, we're not in favor of over-policing, but we're in favor of safety in the community. We're not in favor of stop and frisk, but we are in favor if you break the law, you must be held accountable. We're not in favor of the broken taillight theory, but we are in favor of making sure that innocent bystanders are not hit by stray bullets. And so we are in favor of tamping some of the violence down, but we're not in favor of racial profiling. That's the bottom line. And of course, we will continue to monitor those things to make sure that our community is not over-policed. Now, you can't protect one community and over-police another community. And I made that plain and clear to our police chief and the powers that be. Mm-hmm. We want safe communities. However, we don't want you to over, we're not giving you carte blanche. We're not giving you the green light to terrorize our community either. Yeah. So that's our stand.
And you want people, if they do have a complaint, to file a complaint. If you get stopped and the officer is not doing his job or is overstepping his bounds or didn't treat you fairly or you felt that way, you want people to file that formal complaint.
Yes, and you, it's the best thing you can do. The first step and the best step is to file a complaint. It starts the paper trail. And that way there, one, we'll know how serious you are and how serious this infraction is. And I know that with that complaint being filed, the police chief will be obligated to look at it. And that is the first step. When we get those calls too, and that's the very first thing I say, well, have you filed a complaint? If not, this is go down to the police station and file the complaint. That way there, the paper trail is started and we have somewhere to start. It can't be your word against their word. It has to be somebody taking responsibility to make sure that they are really trying to rectify the situation. And sometimes, you know, we talk at the game, but when you start that trail, that helps us in the process.
Yeah. Reverend Marvin Hightower, I've been asking you a lot of questions. Anything that you wanted to impart that we didn't talk about?
We are a community, and we definitely need to look out for one another. And I know that the news reports a lot of the things that are bad in our community, but there are a lot of good organizations that are out here in the trenches working every day to address our problems and to address all the things that we hear that's bad in our community. There are a lot of people doing a lot of good things, and we're not just twiddling our thumbs waiting for the next bad thing to happen. So I just tell people just get connected to a community organization. If it's not the NAACP, there are many others or commissions. That's where they hand out or you know, the grants and all of that. Get involved. That's what I would say to anybody.
All right, sir. Hey, thank you so much for being on Newsmakers.
You're certainly welcome anytime.
Now to my conversation with Chuck Collins, the chief meteorologist for News 25. Chuck, man, I don't know what to think of the weather. I was watching one of your reports. We're talking about heat indices that were record-breaking, and then we were talking about a record amount of rainfall that fell. And every day when you turn on the national news, some part of the country is getting some kind of weather that they're not used to. This week we had these tornadoes around Elgin, Illinois, near Chicago. What's going on?
Yeah, it's one of those things, Gary, which we've been talking about quite a bit, but it's certainly climate change related. You have day after day after day of intense heat in the Southwest, let's say Phoenix, for example. Well, they're used to that heat, but as we know by climate change, it may not give us more severe weather or more drought or more hurricanes, but more intense weather cycles. So that's an intense drought and hot cycle in the Southwest. You've got an intense flood cycle in the Northeast. We're kind of in between getting everything from our drought here in central Illinois to, as you mentioned, seven tornadoes in Chicagoland last night. and they're not done surveying yet. And it's one of those things where climate change doesn't necessarily increase the number of tornadoes or hurricanes or droughts or wildfires, but it increases the intensity of them. And I think that's what we're seeing.
And I always, when I talk to you, feel like I have to go back a couple of steps and define climate change and talk about the reasons. And you remember my oversimplified, I'm not a scientist, explanation of what global warming is. There is this protective force field around the Earth, as it were. Our planet, hopefully a lot of people know this by now, is going around this big orange ball that's very hot, called the sun. And to protect us from burning up, we have an invisible layer protecting us called the ozone layer. And unfortunately, what has happened over the decades is our factories have belched pollution into the air. Cows have had flatulence in the form of methane gas that has gone into the atmosphere, and it has poked holes in that protective cover so that now the sun's rays come through unfiltered by the ozone layer, and over a period of time we've gotten warmer. Is that decent?
Yeah, pretty much. And also it's the greenhouse effect. A greenhouse will allow the heat in but not let it out. So once we have these little, you know, holes in the ozone allowing the heat in, it's trapped. So it doesn't go anywhere but here in our atmosphere. So the heat is essentially trapped once it comes through.
And you and I have talked also about how people, without getting into any politics, but the science of it is clear, and people need to understand that this is real, and that we may not in our lifetime, I'm in my 60s, I think you are too, we may not in our lifetime experience anything more than what we're getting now, these severe, drastic changes in the weather, but our children and their children and their children, the risk is that we're going to continue to get warmer and warmer, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we're looking at. You know, 20 years ago, it was controversial. People were saying, does climate change exist or it doesn't exist, okay? Because that was the argument. Some say, no, it doesn't exist. The Earth always cools and warms. It always has since the Earth was formed. But now that's not the debate. The debate is what we do about it, because the science has taught us that, yeah, climate change does exist, and it's not a matter of if it does, yes or no. It's what can we do about it, and where do we go here forward? And that's the million-dollar question, or the controversy, or the debate on what we do about it. So, I don't think it's a matter of if it exists. It's a matter of what we do about it.
Yeah, and before we talk again about solutions in the little time that we have left in terms of what the average person can do about it, let's talk about the future that we may face if we don't do anything about it. There's this scary book out there, Chuck. I don't know if you have seen it. It's called Earth. They've put an extra A in Earth. And the guy, the writer, talks about how if we don't do something about it, coming years, say 50, 100 years from now, the city of Detroit will be underwater, because you're going to have the melting of the ice caps, and that's going to make your sea levels go up. And so you have those kinds of doomsday scenarios that are out there looming. You want to add anything to that discussion?
I'm not sure about that. I haven't seen that, but I'll certainly investigate it. I saw one study that says if we don't do anything about it, that it stays at the current level. What we're trying to do right now is keep it at the current level, okay? If it continues to go up, then we're going to see, you know, more problems. But if I saw one study that said if our gas house gases or our global warming climate change continues to grow, in 100 years, our climate here might be the climate of Dallas.
Let's talk about those solutions. So on a grand scale, we know, let's say we're talking about automobiles. The auto industry is now going toward electric vehicles, you know, reducing right. our reliance on fossil fuels, gasoline. We know that the Biden administration has increased money for corporations that are doing alternative energy, wind power, solar power. Right. You see more people putting solar panels on their homes nowadays.
And the cost of those things are, you know, still quite costly, but like everything else, those costs will eventually come down, and I think we'll see more people going to maybe hybrid vehicles or trying the electric vehicles and solar panels. But, you know, it's like anything else, they have to come down in price. When microwave ovens first came out, I couldn't afford one, and they were, you know, 75 pounds. You had to have two people to carry them. Well, now you can buy a desktop microwave for $89. So the cost has to come down. The number one thing we can all do, I believe, is recycling. Because our landfills put off a lot of methane and put things, not good stuff in our atmosphere. And the more we can keep out of our landfills, that's how we can do it on a personal level. And also adjust your thermostats, maybe use a battery-powered weed eater. Start doing that as opposed to gas-powered, reducing carbon emissions like that. Or make sure at least your lawnmower and your weed eater, if they're gas, are in good running shape, your car is in good running shape, and things like that. But recycling is at the top of the list, because we keep stuff out of the landfills. That helps out a great deal, and all of us can do that. Our fall weather is, I think, fall and winter affected the most. We're having warmer falls. We're having nighttime is warmer. And what's happening, our turning of the leaves and falling of the leaves are coming later in the season. We're almost extending summer into September these days. And when we were growing up, the leaves turned and fell, and they were out of here in October. Well, we're not seeing that happen until, November. And then we're seeing overall milder winters as well. And we're seeing more of a maybe a rain-snow mix, as opposed to, flat-out big snows that we used to get. So we are seeing the effects, and I think people can look at that and see. So in the fall, when you're expecting the leaves to start turning and they haven't turned yet, I think that's one of the seasons we're seeing the warmer air taking over, and especially at nighttime, our nighttime temperatures are warmer.
Yeah, and your biggest advice is do more recycling.
Yeah, because, I can't stop China and India from polluting the atmosphere, which they do. They have to wear a mask in China, when you go outside. We're obviously hoping that our elected leaders will work on that and take care of it. But as far as what we can do as individuals, we're not, what we can do can make a difference if all of us just band together and do those things, cut down the amount of energy you use and recycle as much as you can and just do it on an individual basis.
All right. Chuck Collins, Chief Meteorologist for News 25. Hey, thanks for being on Newsmakers.
Oh, anytime, Gary, anytime. And we'll see what the rest of this summer brings here in central Illinois. But we're in a drought situation, but we're getting these timely storms to come along, so we aren't doing too bad, but we need some rain, so I'm hoping we'll get some, just not severe weather or big rains.
All right, and if I ever take you to lunch, I'll try to find one of those alternative chicken places so we can try some lab-grown chicken.
Okay,
yeah, and
I'll try anything once.
Right, and you know what they told me it tastes like?
I can about imagine.
It tastes like chicken.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Newsmakers is brought to you by the Illinois American Water Company for WPNV. WPNV, we're Peoria's neighborhood voice.